may I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, unusually I'm on my own this morning. Jane is visiting her mother, and Sam's fighting for world domination of Hewlett Packard in America. So I'm proving you can get too much of a good thing. We're looking at John chapter 3 and relating it to the passage this morning that we had read to us from Numbers. And this passage from John 3 is part of that episode when Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And you'll all remember it. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and he was questioning and trying to understand about the things of God and eternal life. And the passage that we have today is a follow-on from that. Nicodemus came to Jesus three times. You remember this episode where he comes at night and we have the wonderful statement, you must be born again, and then this little bit here. But he also mentioned on two other occasions in the Gospel. Now, I know you all like quizzes, so have a little think. Can you remember when those other two occasions were? The second occasion is when Jesus is arrested and Nicodemus asks for Jesus to get a fair hearing. And the third occasion is when Jesus has died. And Nicodemus comes along with ointment and aloes and he anoints with Joseph of Arimathea the body of Jesus and he places it in the tomb. And it's interesting to see that progression that Nicodemus makes from coming at night, and you can imagine quite furtive and really a bit afraid of being noticed, afraid of being associated with Jesus. The second time, boldly standing up, and the third time, actually owning the body of Jesus. And, you know, sometimes we use that phrase from this passage about being born again, as if faith is suddenly a snap decision, it kind of happens and it's all over and done with. And yet with Nicodemus himself, we see a progression of faith, a journey of faith. And so often we use the language of pilgrimage for the Christian faith, that it is a journey. And I don't know where you are on your journey, but you might be in any of those stages where Nicodemus was. Perhaps questioning, perhaps on the fringes, perhaps not sure. Perhaps being willing to stand up for Jesus and perhaps even owning Jesus yourself. And it's good to be together with people at those different stages because we learn from each other and we share with each other. And then, of course, we have this remembrance in our passage about snakes. Now, if you were at the quiz last week, you will remember, and yesterday was St. Patrick's Day, wasn't it? You'll remember that St. Patrick did a remarkable thing in Ireland. What did he do in Ireland? He banished snakes. Now, I don't know how he did that. I wish he could banish vine weevils from my garden because they're eating the place alive. If I find out how to do this, I'm gonna take it up. Apparently, there's no voles or moles in Ireland either, are there? Ah, you see, you thought you're clever. Now, is that true or not true? Yes, no moles in Ireland. You heard it here. So when he sorted out the snakes, he also got rid of a few other pests as well. Because there was this idea that snakes were somehow evil. Somehow there was something wrong with snakes. And in the desert, we hear in this passage from Numbers that the people were resentful of the snakes. They were bitten by these snakes. And Moses told the people to put up this bronze snake on a pole. And when people looked at it, they were going to be healed. It's an interesting story. The people were suffering as they came out of, they were in the desert and it was a horrible place to be. And they turned away from God. And suffering, I suppose, can be, for some people, a really difficult thing to get their head around as a Christian. Because there is this idea that if you are a Christian and you're faithful and you try to live a good life, that you won't suffer. And that you'll be somehow protected from it. And it's interesting, isn't it, that we see Jesus in his life suffering deeply, following God so closely, doing all the things he's supposed to do, being faithful, sharing our human condition and suffering with us. And today is a real reminder to us that God doesn't stay aloof above human pain, but actually becomes a part of this creation which we're told he loves so much, and shares our pain, shares our weaknesses, and we're told because God so loved the world, he did this. Not just God loves you, not just God loved me, but because God loved the world, the cosmos, the entirety, all that he has made. And it's an interesting one, the snakes. In Greek mythology, the snake was seen as a sign of immortality. It's the rod of Asclepius, the Greek god of healing. And I don't know if you've watched the television of these American films. Have you seen the medical services in the American army? They often have a sword. Have you seen it with a snake on it as a sign of healing? Yeah? Some of you have seen that. If you watch American television, you're probably more likely to see it than others. But Moses uses that symbol of the snake as a healing power. And the people who looked upon that snake were healed, because God had given himself in this way. Now, there are three occasions in John's Gospel, I'm not going to ask you to remember this one because this is quite hard, when the words lifted up are used. And they're important times. John uses these throughout his Gospel. And on one of them, Jesus says, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And the death of Jesus is shown to be this thing which cures the brokenness in humankind. God's deep love curing the brokenness. Now, we're on Mothering Sunday, and mothers can sometimes be blind to the sins of their children. Sometimes they can think their children are better than they really are. I'm sure Corin will tell us all about this when parents come in and say, you know, my child's really gifted. You get that, do you, Corin? Just occasionally. Let me tell you, she's being discriminating with the truth. All mothers think their child is especially gifted. And they are, of course. All children are gifted. And we're all special in lots of different ways. But, you know, God has a very realistic assessment of what we are like. As our parent, God looks on us, and he doesn't just see that we're special and wonderful. He knows that actually we're also pretty broken and naughty at times. And in this passage, Jesus is very, very realistic about the state of human beings. He shows that God isn't blind. And Jesus used these words, men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And it's quite clear that Jesus is saying God knows exactly what goes on in here. God knows what we're like. And in spite of all that, in spite of knowing exactly what we're like, God loves us and cares for us so much with his unconditional love that in the form of Jesus, he takes the cross and dies for us. Today's a reminder to each one of us of that deep sacrificial love of God. Now, we see it sometimes in human parents. We see it sometimes in human mothers. And that's just a glimpse. Just a glimpse of the deep, deep love which Jesus has for us. So today, we do exactly as we're reminded in the scriptures. We look at the cross and we see the healing touch of God. And we know that no matter how broken we are, no matter how much we fail, that in Christ, if we look to him, we find God's touch of forgiveness. Amen.